Record. Look at that. I did it correctly. Hi, thanks everybody. This looks like a smallish group, so maybe it'll be a short meeting. I think everybody has the agenda. It was in the body of the appointment. So there's going to be some homework following this meeting for you all and your colleges. That will need your follow-up. And if we can get it done this, get it back feedback from you this calendar or academic year, great. And if not, we tried. So I'm going to technically call this to order a couple minutes after. The February minutes are attached. I don't know if anybody has any questions, comments, would like to make a motion.
A motion.
Thank you, Noelle.
I'll
Sarah,
second, Robert.
thank you. I'll do it ESOC's way. Are there any opposed? And unless there's abstentions, then we agree by consensus. That's how he does it at DSPC, or he did. Seriously, if there are concerns, please let me know. Otherwise, we'll mark them as consensus. Topics for discussion today are listed. Chris, I'm going to let you start with emergency. Well, why don't I start with listservs and then you can have the balance? Does that work? Okay. One of the things that we've talked about, and I'm going to ask Renee to screen share so that you can see the list, is we have moved collectively district IT from what are manual lists that are manually filled in. Robert Schmidt typically does it. And then when a human gets to the campuses, then the campuses have to add them to various lists. One of the things that we've done with what I think is generally Office 365 and working with IT is we've created a list for, I think, every primary group within the district and then at each of the colleges. So this originally started as a dynamic list for faculty and separating full-time and part-time because now the system, based on how it's coded, IT has the ability to pick one physically where you're located and then how we've got you coded. So people will automatically be opted into these lists. They will be able to opt out should they choose, but automatically when people get hired, the intent would be, and I'm sorry, none of these lists are currently active. They're all hidden. We want to make sure that the colleges, one, this works for them. But I want to highlight something. There are a couple of specifics. One, we will get you draft templates for guidelines for you to consider at the college level to take through whatever process. They're drafted off the RCCD all guidelines. So most you should be familiar with most language because we collectively put those together. It will be specific by group. So if it's the part-time faculty list, the content is meant to be directed at part-time faculty. If it's not for them, you should use a more appropriate list, is basically what things say. One of the things that needs to go through the colleges to determine is general naming nomenclature. The colleges right now have different lists. This is a recommendation, RCCD all or RCCD dash MVC dash NC dash RCC dash. That is different than what we have now. And some of the lists are RCC, some of them are RIV. Moreno Valley uses MV, Norco uses NOR. If that's the determination for naming, fine. I need that to come back from the colleges of what you want, and we will update the lists accordingly. But they do need to be consistent across your colleges, right? So there's that. The other big piece is, Renee, you can pull these down if you want. The other big piece is whether or not the lists are going to be moderated. Right now, RCCD All is one of the only moderated lists that happen at the through the colleges. So the college all lists, anybody can respond to, right? If you are a member of the MV or RIV or NORL, you can send to anybody with that receives that message. That is a question for the colleges at this moment to affirm, I guess. If you want unmoderated, or which is what you've currently got, or if you want to start moderating content. OpDiscuss will still be OpDiscuss. I'm working on those guidelines. They're proving a little more complicated. because it's kind of a free-for-all in OptDiscuss, and we want to leave that flexibility, I think. But I'd like you all, and we will send through the DMCC email, Renee will send a packet on Friday that will include your college's templates so that you can go through if you've got a committee or whatever process that you all can talk to or through about. And if that means you don't have a committee and you go straight to your college president's office and it goes through their leadership team, so be it. Like Noelle, I don't know if you have a committee at MVC that you can roll things through. So it may just have to go to president's leadership.
Yeah, generally they just take my recommendation. So,
That's, which is great, right? Where I know both RCC and Norco have different levels of committee, right? And structure that they go through. So we will provide you a template or something to work from. It does not mean you have to take them. This is just something so that you're not starting from scratch and we have a place to go. They're not meant to be wholly restricted. Again, most of the content in the draft is if you decide to moderate. If it's unmoderated, it's going to be fairly short and straightforward on the guidelines. The intent, again, on the listservs is they are dynamic, which means a human is not going to have to manually input them along the way and/or update them when people move, right? So if Ashley, faculty member at Moreno Valley, ends up moving to Norco, that happens organically, right? So she doesn't have to worry about it. It just updates in the system and Ashby just normally switches over, right? So that should happen in the future, which in theory saves a handful of people on the back end time of not manually adding to a list. Any questions, comments, concerns? Are we forgetting anything? Go ahead, Thea.
can you remind me what our process is at RCC?
So
Like, what do I
RCC.
start with?
Yeah, I would. So when RCC gets its packet, it'll go to whoever the RCC people are. But you and Patrick,
Patrick, okay.
Tony would get it because I think he's the RCC CSEA classified person.
Okay.
Whereas like Robert and Leslie aren't going to get it, because, right? They're different staffing levels for this committee. So you all will get it, and Patrick chairs the marketing committee at RCC. So in theory, he'll take it to the RCC marketing committee and y'all will review it and make recommendations for whomever to make that decision.
Okay, and so we don't know who the whomever is, do we?
Oh, I'm sure it's your president's office. I'm sure
Just the
it's the
okay.
leadership team, but because you have a committee, you have to
Goes
go
there
through.
first.
Noelle has to go through.
Yeah, we have like
Okay.
a loose work group, and then generally I just send it to my boss, a VP, and it gets taken to cabinet. Okay.
Whereas at Norco, they have actual regular meetings, minutes produced, it goes out to the like so. But you all
Gotcha.
will, you'll have to follow up with Patrick. And he's out, but I told him when he got back that we should touch base. So I'm happy to sit down and talk with both of you.
Okay.
But again, it's the I would love by the time we send it to you, if I could have feedback in terms of what the content is. I would say before the end of the month, definitely before people leave, so that we can work on it and have it back to you when we come back in the fall. I would love to see these things operational before then, but I don't, I think y'all are going to need one more meeting before you're ready to tell me how you want to implement these. Because again, these lists are the colleges. They are for you all to have benefit from and the people. So until we're ready to lift them with the guidelines that go along with them, it's easier to just keep it in wait. And this all spurred because of that one email that went out through the faculty about chat.
So, okay. I just wanted to make sure I was taking it to the right people. So
Yeah,
I'll touch
it,
base with Patrick.
Patrick.
We'll go from there.
Absolutely. Anything else on lists?
So I worked with Jared on the MVC lists to ensure that when people reply, they don't get the basic reply all. Like it goes to the sender and not the list. Are things like that, are we able to make sure that those settings are in place?
So if it's moderated, then yes. If it's not moderated, I don't know. If you work that technically out with Jared, then I'm going to defer to what you two talked about. I don't know. But that would be, Noelle, when you're reading the draft template, if what you and Jared talked about is a way to have it unmoderated but reply. So the
Yeah.
reply all only goes to the sender.
Well, it wouldn't be the reply all. It's just the basic reply, but instead of replying to the list, which is how I think the listservs
Most
now are
yes,
defaulted, we
only
made sure that the sender, so if I sent something, if someone hit the reply button, it would go to
yes.
me and not the list.
If there's a way to do that, because that makes it, from the college's perspective, I think that makes it easier than moderating.
Yes, because I don't
So
think that we're gonna at the MVC, we're like, we're not gonna push to that. I'm only gonna recommend that presidents have like an announcements DL that's completely moderated and they can
okay.
manage it. But I think that would be my only question. And then the only question otherwise would be who has access to give approval for anyone from other campuses that are trying to opt in? So is there a screening process? So there is a dynamic portion where it's moved, but we have faculty that teach at multiple campuses. We also have HR liaisons that want to be able to share information.
So though that those would be questions with Jared. The first part, if that's possible, can you confirm for the
Yes.
collective? Because I think the other two colleges would prefer to have an unmoderated don't reply all. Norco may want still reply all. That's culturally like part of what they do. The other two campuses may not. So Ashley, that's going to be for you and Ruth and Brady, that's going to be a conversation because that is a if that is possible, that would be a functional shift of what Norco does. So that's something to think about from a cultural.
I'll inquire with Jared about it because, yeah,
Could you
if
also
someone's
ask
hitting the
that?
reply button, I just want it to go to the person sending it. They hit reply all, it's going to include the list.
Can
And
you
people have
also,
the bad habit of doing that, so I can't stop
yeah, they do.
that.
Can you also inquire with him on if each college president was to have their own college distribution list, I don't think he would have to, the colleges, I think, would have to determine what the hierarchy is, and he'll just implement it. But if you could validate that with him,
Yeah, but I think that, if it comes directly from managers or from cabinet or just some level of them where they have really important announcements that doesn't get lost in the flood of
well, but
just committee work,
I'm also thinking about how we add those other people that are not
it would, I
formally
think it would be
affiliated.
a duplicate of whatever the membership on the all list would be. That one would just be moderated so people can't send to it.
Well, no, I'm talking about like your HR people and the people who
Okay.
are affiliated centrally that wouldn't automatically be added to your list. How do
Yeah.
we get to your point?
Yeah.
I
The
don't know.
manual adjustments.
I don't know how to get those on.
Okay.
Theory wouldn't happen automatically, so we would have to. Can you validate that with him?
I'll ask about it because that's something that I
Yeah.
do on a regular basis. So I think it's valid. So Lenny helps manage the ones that are at Norco, and then I believe that I think it's Melinda Miles at RCC that manages those listservs. So
Yeah.
input from the people that actually manage them in the course
Yeah.
of setting the guidelines would probably be useful if
That's
you
the
go through
thing
that
is
process.
this process that he's got set up, they wouldn't be in it.
But just expertise and saying like,
Oh,
here's some
yeah.
of the hurdles and things that you want to account for and things like that. I'm sure happy to have some of that busy work taken off the plate.
Yeah, no doubt. To your point, Thea, that's a good point. Melinda should probably review. I don't know that she's on your marketing committee. I know Tony is, but I don't know that maybe Liz Lancona is, and Liz is the one who would do all the social stuff. And so when we get to that next, there, to Noelle's point, there are going to be a couple of other people that we should probably include to make sure we're not missing
Yeah, because
piece.
we added like Monica Skada and Bayway too,
Agreed.
and a bunch of people to our list just so they can send really important information out to the college community because they may not look at RCCDL or they want to have stuff that's specific to the location, but they don't work here. So those manual ads
Very
are
good.
really, really important.
That's a very good point. Okay. What else on listservs? I'll tell you, Jared and I have been trying to do this for a really long time, so I'm cautiously optimistic as we get closer that it's going to work. But I'm also realistic it could blow up at the end, so we'll see. Okay. Nothing else on lists? Like I said, before Friday, you will have a packet of. the handful that were templates that go to your college. And then if we can get any feedback on that content before the end of the month, that would be great so that we can keep moving while faculty are out. Chris, you have the next three. So pick which order.
Okay. Let's see here. Hang on. So the first thing we're going to go through is the social media guidelines. Can everybody see that on your shared screen?
You're good.
Okay. So this has already been through one read, and then we made corrections, and then we sent it out on the 17th of last month for everybody to take to their committees to review and see if there's any additions that we want to do. So this is technically our second read, actually probably third or fourth, but we're making progress. So Noelle had done the most extensive commenting on this, and any place where we've addressed it in the copy, you'll see a check mark by the comment box, and it's been addressed within the copy. There's lots of other changes that have happened through comments that we've gotten, but all of those have been incorporated. So it starts with an introduction. I don't know how thoroughly you want to go through this since you've all had a chance to review it. If you have, let's say that if you have questions or comments to give on page three, we can have that discussion right now. Anything on introduction, college social media guidelines, or definitions?
I think the only recommendation I would make is that rather than writing out that URL right there, I would just rephrase the end of that sentence to have the disclaimer present as like link the actual text instead of writing out the URL.
I have a technical question. From an ADA perspective, I thought you couldn't just hyperlink anymore. We had to like list things.
Well, you can, but that's exactly why I'm saying don't have the URL written out in plain text, because the screen reader is going to go in and say https://forward/. You need to have check the RCC website for updates, or it's called descriptive linking.
Okay.
And so you explain the page or the website that the link goes to. If that is the disclaimer or the social media page on the RCCD website, you'd say you would link RCCD website social media page.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you. Any others? So go to the next page. Page four, official social media accounts. We removed the unofficial social media accounts after some discussion. And then student clubs and organizations, guidelines for them. Changes, discussion.
While people are looking, just for sake of conversation, following today, unless there are any concerns, the intent is to ask for your approval so that this can move forward to just our strategic planning council, and that these are things that we can implement. So that's the intent following this. I think you can keep going, Chris.
Just a quick comment, sorry. There are a bunch of ampersands there, and I think our style says don't use ampersands. That's the only thing.
Oh my God, I have to check my signature block.
It's okay in department names, but in the bodies of paragraphs. Yeah.
Unless it's part of their name, I don't disagree with you. Chris, can we do a find or replace?
Yep, Okay. Any others? Gosh, why did we do that? We're on page 5. Use of district or college identity, public comments, and inappropriate content.
Can we just link the board policies? So we have 1000, 1716, and 3430 listed.
Just hyperlink them.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're saying remove those references and just say board policy? Or
no, 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 no.
Okay.
Link them to the just PDFs that have the board policy.
Yeah.
Any others? We're on page 6. Well, there we have one link.
Yeah, we did one of them. I mean, that counts, right? That's like 25%.
We're on to page 7. This is one where we still have some open comments.
Now, I do want to point out that on the branding guidelines, we're on the nomenclature for the colleges. You've got MVC, NC, RCC. So when you think about your lists, just something to keep it consistent.
So one of the comments I had was about just having security practices. So this may be something that we can reach out to IT for, but in general, encouraging people to use secure passwords, to change them regularly, to be sure, you know, if there's turnover, that they change the password, that they use shared emails, and a social media account isn't tied to any one individual employee, just best practices on that front. Would probably be ideal, because it's easy enough to add someone to a shared email, but then you have to go through a whole process to get access to someone's employee email if they leave, and bit of a nightmare. Because we ran into that when Sue Tarkon, our old director of health services, retired, and we lost access to one of the Facebook pages and all of that.
Is there a PDF of those types of recommendations from IT that we can reference?
Do you know? I have the list pretty much in the comment. And then if you want to send it to, I think Jared's the one that prepares all of that cybersecurity stuff, and say, hey, we're preparing a list of some documentation for best practices. And I think the best practices are their best practices. So I'm comfortable moving forward with the document as is, and we can modify that. But we can just ask, like, have we covered every angle here that would be relevant for good cybersecurity? Because that's a huge push right now.
I think it's highly relevant. I wonder if there's either language they want to give us to drop in, or if they want us to link to their existing, because they've got stuff.
Yeah, anything works. I think as long as we just make a note, like follow good cybersecurity practices.
Yeah. Chris, once we're done with this, let's do a formal request. I don't want to send it to Jared. I want to send it to Suzanne, so that it can go through the channel. If you can just ask Susanna for their general review and any comments from IT's perspective of any language we need to include. Is there anyone that's concerned with us just dropping language from IT in? Or can we do that and keep moving forward? Okay. Then we can do that. That'll be one of the comments that we're soliciting in the next, 30 or so days. Good point. What else?
Well, since you're here, do you want to talk about the other two comments you made here?
Where was it? I'm not sure what the second one was tied to. Oh, okay. I think some of that is rather than having the word professional used, it's recognizable because that's all about branding. So, and that's brand recognition. So it's just a nomenclature because something about professionality, I think, reads more as you use like professional language and conduct and things like that. But then being recognizable as an organization and institution speaks more to the brand aspect of what that specific bullet point is covering.
Okay.
So it's a word swap.
Got it. And then your final comment there was on maintaining confidentiality.
So I would say that because we have a district privacy policy, and so I would probably just add a comma in there. It would be all information must comply with privacy laws, RCCD privacy policies, and protect individuals' personal information.
Okay.
Because that way we're at least looping back into our own policies, and privacy policies are pretty important when we're talking about digital dissemination of information.
Right, that's the end of our guidelines. Anything anybody else wanted to add or subtract?
Chris, are you moving that we approve the social media guidelines?
Yes, I can.
We have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion?
I think this will be
This,
helpful.
say that again?
I think this will be helpful.
I'm hopeful. We'll see. I'll do the ESOC way again. Is there anybody opposed or that would like to abstain? Okay, we'll move it forward with consensus then. Thank you. Look it, we got so many things done. At the bottom of this email, that completed list is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's so great. Okay, Chris, now what? Marketing and arts, or are we doing comms?
We're going to do crisis communications guideline.
Look at him being brave. Okay.
So this is still a work in progress. The main reason for that is we're trying to edit down what we've done before. So if you were to look in the current emergency guidelines that the district has as a whole, the document is 700 and something pages, of which about 40 pages are the crisis communications plan. And then there's another two appendices to that, that are both several pages. So we're trying to reduce this down. And so I just want to go through the table of contents, what we've come up with thus far, trying to whittle all of that. There was a lot of repetitiveness as we went through the district's current draft. And so that's what we're trying to eliminate here, consolidate all into different sections, and just get rid of a lot of the wordiness. So we have an introduction that talks about the theme and the reason for doing this, the guiding principles. We have crisis definitions, the incident command system. So we're referencing all of this to ICS and incident command protocols that are from the national level down. We don't use all of the same nomenclature, but in our communications guidelines, we are referring to that because that's where we get our direction. So then we have the crisis communications team. This is a term, I don't know if it's an ICS term specifically. They have the Joint Information Center, but this would be the team that is actually responsible for the communications before they're disseminated. So you have like the chancellor, the president, the vice chancellor, And then your PIO and the safety manager, those would all be in that team. You have communications protocols, so that, and that's talking mostly about the media that we use, starting with the Rave messaging and all the different platforms that it uses, and then talking about alternative means of communication with everything from landline phones to PA systems to, we even have stuff in there about ham radios and monitoring police stations and things. So that's in that, in the protocol section. We have a process for verifying information accuracy. That one I've put it in and taken it back out because it's more of an internal thing. But wanted to get your opinions on that. Because we do that, but I don't know if we want to try to educate people with this document or if we just want to have the bones of it. Then I have the authorized communications. And basically what that's saying is if the incident commander has approved it and the PIO has distributed it, or the PAOs, then it is an official communication. If it doesn't flow through that channel, it's not. We have the emergency response procedures. So this starts looking at specific types of emergencies and then communicating with the press, just general guidelines and contacts. The post-emergency procedures, again, this was an internal document that got put on here and it's been removed and put back on a couple times. Generally speaking, the post-action reports are done through safety and it isn't the communications report. So we're thinking that we'll probably eliminate that, but wanted to get your, if there's some other reason to keep it, then we can talk about that. And then training and evaluation, basically saying that we recognize the need to train both or all three different classifications of employees, from leadership to faculty to classified professionals, and making sure that we have a schedule in there for making them aware of these communication guidelines. Then we have an appendix A, which is resources, basically talking about the different communication resources that are already available or that are planned, and then message templates. We've talked a lot about this. We were actually creating a library, and then we have another document that we wanted to incorporate that's about how to create those drafts in situation, which is a little more relevant. We're probably going to do a hybrid of the two, but that's what that is trying to document or create a template for the different types of communications that might go out for a different, for different types of emergencies. And that's it.
Questions, comments, this will also be something, it will come through a separate email. This will come out to you all before the end of the week so that you can read through it. This is the first time you're seeing it. So this will be something that we, Chris, you can take this down unless there are specifics. We will probably run this in concert with district strategic, no, district safety and security, DSSC. So that we are taking it through. So we'll bring it to you all this time. We'll take any feedback, comments, as much as you want to give them to us. And then it will come back to this committee probably in the first meeting of the fall, since we don't have any more. So August, September. At the same time, it will go to DSSC, probably either before our next meeting and or around the same time. They'll get it kind of like for the first time. Once DSSC makes any comments, then from us, we'll make a recommendation. They can see the more final version from us, and then it'll go to DSPC for final approval. There, in theory, will be an advancement and partnerships kind of umbrella committee that is supposed to be established. I'm still waiting on membership, so it probably won't start until the fall. If that committee is in place, it is possible that I'll have to run it through that umbrella committee before it goes to DSPC. So we're going to have plenty of time, I guess, is my point, to make any changes, feedback. But in the absence of having something, we need to have something in place. And then we can make adjustments and tweaks to it. I anticipate this will be a living document. But if there is a committee, I doubt it, but if there's a committee you want to take it through at the colleges, fine. But otherwise I would just leave it centrally, just for, if for no other reason than speed, and most people are going to get a crack at it anyway. Are there any general questions, concerns? I know you haven't seen the actual depth of words, but in general, I mean, from 700 down to 10, that's not bad.
I assume all the safety coordinators have been a part in developing this document. And so technically, I think we have a safety work group here at MVC. So okay. I'm guessing that, you know, we have Tony Ruiz here on campus that reports to Monica or Byway. I'm not sure who, but if he's been a part of it, then I wouldn't worry about needing much input from our campus. Because for the most part, I think we follow district protocol for pretty much everything safety.
I would be hard pressed to believe that on any of the three colleges, just because I have not seen any level of consistency. It doesn't help that safety coordinators don't report centrally. They'll report to their individual colleges, which is why just watching the table, Chris, that you all are doing at the colleges.
Say that again, sorry.
The table talks or whatever that you're doing at the colleges.
Oh, none of them. Yes.
None
the
of them.
Tabletop discussions or scenarios.
Yeah. But Noel, to your point, I don't believe any of this, the safety officers have seen this. I'm not sure. Well, in fact, I know they have. If for no other reason than Monica has it.
Oh, okay. Well, absolutely. Yeah. Then do you recommend that we take it to our safety work groups and at least let them look at it? And if they have any concerns, then we can gather all of that up.
Is there another safety group meeting before the end of the calendar year or the end of the academic year?
I have no idea, but if nothing else, I can ask Tony and Mej to forward it out to the work group. And if they have anything and they can just send it by email, then at least they've had an opportunity, because if we're not running it through the official, because it is a work group, and so we don't have them related specifically to a governance structure here, at least we're just soliciting input.
If I'm okay with that. They are going, the other colleges, I don't think have that same structure.
We have a safety committee that my comment too was going to be after Noel, but it'd be better to go through the safety committee than the marketing committee considering.
This will be attached to the safety committee's document that they're doing as a whole. Have a chance to review this, but I don't know if we want to do it on the college level or once they do it in the committee. So
I just don't feel like I'm the expert on this. And so it's coming to our committee for recommendations. I would like to speak to colleagues that actually have expertise in this area, and then so
I want to pause it on that, because they have expertise in safety, not necessarily in emergencies, and most of them have zero communications experience. So I say that only because I see messages that come out and I'm like, nobody vetted this.
But they're the ones that are running the trainings, that are fielding questions from
no
people
doubt.
And so be able to provide some input.
No doubt, but to that point, the trainings across the colleges are not the same.
Understandable.
That's where
it's just soliciting feedback. It's not, we need your approval.
Yeah. So I would welcome the feedback from the safety folks, maybe the safety committee, but again, they're going to think about all the things, the incidents. And I mean, I had to fight with Isak about, we respond to an emergency the same way. It doesn't matter what kind of emergency it is. And he said, no. And I'm like, yes, huh? The incident commander takes over.
Do we want to give them an abbreviated version that doesn't include all of the individual messaging templates? Because if that's going out through Rave and it's being distributed by the PAOs, then let that be district handled. But the actual 9 to 10 pages of the guidelines, give them that.
That's what I was thinking. Not the wordsmithing.
No appendices.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. This is being submitted through Byway and through Monica to the safety committee. And I also attend the safety committee meetings. So it will be vetted through that, unless you want to do it at the college level instead.
I think the point that Noelle is making is if we get their feedback initially, we won't have to deal with it later. So if we get it before it goes to DSSC, it would be in theory more encompassing of the content or questions.
And then maybe they won't be like, I've never seen this. But there's a lot of that.
Yeah, there is. I got college presidents doing it. I'm like, but the email's right there. You opened it. Okay. Anything else outside of process?
Congratulations on paring down 40 pages to 10.
Yeah.
Impressive.
We'll see if we can do that.
The question is, will anyone read it and follow it? That's the next step. Anything else on the comms guidelines? And like I said, intent is to get those out by end of the week so that folks have more than less time to look at it. And maybe a separate email is going to go then from DMCC to the safety people. And Chris, let's talk about it, because maybe we want the email to come out and a CC to Monica and Bayway so they know that there's consensus. Forgive me, Julio is a manager or no? At MVC?
He's the current interim director of technology support services at district.
No, you're safety person. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. That's Tony Ruiz. No, Tony. He's a coordinator classified.
He's classified. They're all classified, right?
He reports to district safety and MEJ ASCAR, our business. MEJ. Little split. Okay.
And I think the structure, Ashley, does that report up through Michael?
Yes, Justin, I believe, reports to Michael.
Okay. And then at RCC, does Sean report to Chris? Well, Christy?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he reports to Christy.
Still? Or now?
Now. Now. Okay. So I think to the VP of Business Services, I believe.
Which is where it's at all three.
Okay. Which is where Christy now is.
Right? It's consistent. Okay. So we will get it out to them. Chris, I want to think about how we release it, because it should not come from us to them without managers in between. So we'll figure out, we'll get it to you all, and then maybe it takes an extra day because we'll send it out. Maybe Monica will send it out jointly with you. We'll think about the best way to do that. So anything else on communication guidelines? Okay, solid. Okay, keep going, Chris. That's great.
All right. So the next section, I wanted to talk a little bit about our marketing plans that we have through the end of this fiscal year. Many of you may have already seen some of the general awareness campaigns that we've been running. There was a recent mailer that went out to 185,000 residents in our service area, asking them to join the conversation and reply with a survey card. We've actually gotten a lot of responses to the surveys. Each day we're getting bundles that are getting thicker and thicker instead of it dwindling off yet. So we are getting a lot of response on that. And that's basically asking them to prioritize between lead pipes, water, educating our students, preparing them for careers. There's a list of 9 different topics that they're trying to prioritize and let us know where we ought to go. And there's a lot of other comments as well. So we're getting some good response to that survey. In addition to that survey, we're also doing a digital campaign that will start mid-month of this month. And that digital campaign is basically asking people again to join the conversation, talk about, we're featuring some of our first responders and nursing personnel, those careers that are essential to the communities. So we're featuring those in these 30-second videos and the, what do you want to call them? We're doing what they call programmatic ads, that if you look in the search engine results, sometimes they say sponsored or advertisers, but they look just like the other search results that you get. It'll have a photo, a title, one sentence usually is a lead-in. We're doing those programmatic ads. We're also doing banner or display ads, and those are static generally. And then we're doing the video ads that will be pre-roll and CCTV and YouTube. We're also doing some TikTok and Instagram. So that digital campaign, though, again, is about joining the conversation, talking about the colleges and their impact on the community. And then we'll follow up with another survey at the end of June that gauges public interest and where they want us to go from here. That campaign is part of our expanded campaign. We also are doing the unique programs. We did the unique program and brochure at the start of the year. Now, for the past 3 months, we've been doing video ads featuring those unique programs with testimonials from students, from faculty, from the alumni, and also the employers. And that's been our emphasis, has been focusing on employers that are actually employing our students after they graduate and getting testimonials from them. So we have, I think it's a total of 8 ads that have already been running, and we're adding to those another 6 ads over the next month. And those are all featuring these unique programs. The unique programs, the benefit of that is that we can distribute those ads district-wide, that everybody is aware of the unique programs offered at some of our colleges. So all the Ben Clark Training Center ads will go to the entire district, so people know about our fire programs and the EMS programs and the unique programs there. But the same thing applies to what's happening at RCC and at Norco, unique programs that they have. We're also featuring district-wide so that everybody is aware of that. We've had really good reviews on the testimonials, especially from the employers. We have 2 that are in production right now that I'm pretty excited about. One is for our CNC. This is from Norco. Actually, both of these that I'm talking about right now are from Norco. One is the CNC apprenticeships. We're actually talking to one of the employers, which is Fender, which is a national company that's based in Corona. And we actually have our videographer going out to Fender and filming the employer there. Yes.
Just out of curiosity, because we're working really closely with them, can we just get like a heads up so that when we connect with them, we know what's going on too? And I know you're giving me a heads up right now, but it's just, yeah.
Well, Juan is the one that set that up for us.
Oh, he did set it up. Oh, okay, good. Because yeah. Juan's out, so I wasn't sure. He's going to be out for a couple weeks. So just double checking. Thank you. Sorry.
Hold on. He's okay, right?
Oh, yeah. He's fine. Everything's good.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, we're trying to coordinate wherever possible. We've been reaching out to Stephanie a lot at Norco, and we haven't gotten any. She keeps saying that she's busy. So, and I don't mean to, I believe she's busy. So I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble, but we're generally trying to go through anybody at the colleges that we can to especially get those connections with employers, because we don't have them, right? So we have to rely on the people at the colleges to do that. The other one that we're doing for Norco is, and I can't remember the faculty member's name off the top of my head, but it's the gaming programming and solutions. We're actually doing some video of the programming and the artwork and stuff that are going into that, and then interviewing the companies that employ them. So that one's another exciting one. This is going to be exciting to our whole audience. People are going to get into that. And that one will be, I think we have the videotaping happening next week. So it'll probably be another 2 to 3 weeks before you see those ads start hitting. But that's another exciting one. We just finished one that's already running for Moreno Valley. That's the community interpretation one. And it's kind of interesting. We did the electronics as well. And both of those, the testimonial, the people that we're interviewing and stuff may not be the dynamic, exciting people that you want to see on an ad, but they come across so genuine that we're getting a tremendous response as far as people looking at them and sharing them, and pretty impressive. I think they're also high demand careers that people probably didn't know that we offered. So we're getting some really good feedback on that. On some of these ads, we're also doing the ads in Spanish, both Spanish and English, where it makes sense to do that. Sometimes we don't have the testimonials and, you know, featuring somebody that actually speaks Spanish, so that doesn't always work. But where we can, I know we did a Spanish version of the automotive repair one for RCC, so that one's going out. And we did the Spanish version of the CMI one from NBC, so we're getting some of that. And then we're also doing an enrollment campaign that's starting mid-May. We'll go through the end of July. And that one is doing a lot of radio ads and podcast advertising. So that's kind of a fun one that's we're going into some new avenues. And then we have our regular the postcards and the mailers about dual enrollment, about finishing your degree, about converting from an application to an actual enrollment. All of those campaigns are going forward as well. We have another project that we've been working on. Some of you may have already heard about it or been involved a little bit, but we have an arts brochure that we're creating. It started off as a 16-page project that's turning into a larger project, partly because more people wanted to be included, and partly because they also want a Spanish translation included in the brochure, which set the timeline back a little bit. But we're working on that. We expect that one to be delivered sometime in October. But that one, we're getting all of the deans of visual and performing arts at each one of the colleges, and then many of their department chairs involved in that whole project. So that's been an interesting concerted effort to get that done. But it is, I don't know, Brady, you've been involved in some of those meetings. I think you can testify to the fact that we're taking everybody's comments and incorporating what we can and still trying to keep a good creative brochure.
No, definitely. Yeah, there's been some good conversations about it. And I think the idea that everybody wants to make sure we're being inclusive is really important, and everyone's being heard for sure, which just takes longer to please everyone.
Yep.
Well, I'm curious, for the Spanish translation process, who are you involving? Because one thing that I've noticed is that we serve a huge Hispanic population, and as someone that manages a website for a college, the amount of information we have for a Spanish-speaking audience is minimal. It is absolutely pitiful. And I think that we need to make a more concerted effort to at least provide basic information to Spanish-speaking audiences, have a clear process for how to translate the most key information about enrollment, and then otherwise provide contacts to Spanish-speaking admissions personnel and outreach personnel and things like that. And that portion, the contacts, we can manage here at the college, but just overall having, you know, I don't know if it's just an admissions template or just every set a standard for what information at each college needs to have a translation, which is the enrollment information, the admissions information, at least get people with their foot in the door.
So I want to add this, because to your point, so you had multiple points. One, the latter part of what things should be accessible and done readily available, we need to put that on a list to discuss at our next meeting. We'll look into how it would be done. Good, bad, right, or wrong, it will cost money. Good, bad, right, or wrong, Spanish content takes up physically more space. Chris's point about how it got larger. Everything we do does not have to be translated, but Noelle.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. To your point, there are some key things that would be beneficial for the broader communities, especially a lot of the stuff in the community ed space, with Michael Peterson's area, that's more of the outreach. So some of the stuff in CTE would be more helpful for some of our students. So I'd like to have kind of a broader conversation about that. So we'll have that as a primary topic of discussion for our first like fall meeting. We'll try to do some diligence on the back end. We hire that out. That is not something that we do internally for the district. We don't have
the resources. At NBC, we've usually done special projects with Spanish-speaking faculty.
So we can do it that way. That's one of the things Gwen Yao has been on a special project for a very long time. She's the voice on the recording, and she's RCC Spanish faculty. Having said that, that's not necessarily the language choices that we want to send out when we're doing marketing outreach. Sure. So we're being thoughtful in terms of who we use for what purposes. In terms of Spanish translation or accessible on campus, like there should be a list of designated people.
Yeah, and that's something that we can handle at the colleges, but just, you know, this is a recommendation of a college, of the district committee. So let's put this together at the college level.
So during COVID, Diana Meza was fielding most of the Spanish calls. And then she left and we had a couple of other people, mostly out of the district office. But like, I don't know who's managing those right now.
Well, we're lucky at MVC to have most of our admissions and outreach people able to speak Spanish.
Cool. Right.
But at least what I've noticed is that primarily the people that need this information are ESL. They are parents of first generation students. And so they just want someone to talk to. They do not need a full document. It's just, if you have questions about this, talk to this person. You have questions about this, talk to this person.
And that's why some of that stuff in community ed would be helpful. So I think it's important for us to have that larger conversation. On this piece, it's the first time that we're doing a piece in dual language. And I do think it's because of the group that we are focused on. It does not make sense to do all of our outreach brochures.
Agreed.
So I'm really excited about this piece.
Setting a good standard.
Yeah, I'm excited that we're taking a little bit more time to do a broader thoughtful approach in terms of the community that we serve. So we'll see how it turns out, but this is our first foray into that. So
Robert Delgadillo has a hand raised.
Go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you. You know, I just had a very quick question about the brochure in general. I just want to make sure I'm understanding. So this is going to be a brochure that's going to be shared across the three colleges, or is this going to be campus specific? Oh, it is across the three. Gotcha.
It is all three.
Gotcha. Okay. And in the, I guess my bigger question here is, in the meantime, is there any possibility that we can get some kind of printed brochure that we can circulate for events? Because we keep getting these opportunities where we're being invited by high schools or different events where we're trying to promote our programs here at VPA. And this has been a conversation going on for well over a year now. And we don't have anything official that we can send out that's current, at least.
Okay.
Are you talking specific to your college, or do you want something to circulate about the entire district?
No. Specific for us, like for VPA, for at MVC. I don't know if this is a different conversation, but
we have the college brochures that we did last year. We tried to make them timeless, and we've actually done reprints of those brochures. So we did one. In fact, we just printed a couple thousand more for MVC that they're using in their outreach. I don't know if those are widely disseminated or if they need to be given out to more groups, but those are the brochures that we were using to publish.
Could you just send that to Robert so he knows what's going out? In fact, if you could just send all three to each of the colleges so they know that resource is there. They are general and generic, and they are primarily meant for our legislators / other kind of outside people to advocate on our behalf generally. But Robert, I don't know if that's going to be specific enough. So if there's something more detailed that we should be looking at, we're happy to do it. Especially if it's creating, if it's electronic, that's the easiest. But if we need to go to print, we can do that too.
Well, if you have resources, Mark Knight's team, Creative Services, will design things for you. So if you need something for the School of Visual Performing Arts at MVC, come up with the language, take it and put in a design request, and they'll make you a brochure, a flyer, a little booklet, and then your school or department budget, like that is the printing. It's at cost because it's through district, but that funds the printing.
And I just want to highlight a couple of things. Robert, one, the form is on the agenda. It's linked there if you want to direct access, or you can search for it on the website. But doing it internal with our graphics people, the only thing you're paying for is the printing.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I know there's a lot of hands in the cookie jar right now in our department trying to get this thing going. So I just wanted to make sure I wasn't misunderstanding with this conversation about this larger brochure that's going to be going out. So
Yeah, no, we're systematically picking different groups. We've done community ed, adult ed space, because people are interested in those. We've done CTE in a couple of specific areas. Arts was next. Chris, I don't know if we have another one planned, a big one programmatically.
We're looking at one for athletics and another for STEM, but they're still in the concept phase.
So if there are other larger areas that you think that we should spend focus, because again, it hits one of two areas for me, general awareness or butts in seats. So if it's not triggering one of those two things, I'm probably going to say no, but I can make a lot of things fit into those two buckets. So.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
One last question regarding the media pieces specifically. Are these like 15 second spots, 30 second spots, a minute long videos?
They're 30 second videos for the most part. We have trimmed some of them down to 15 second as well. We were trying 6 seconds on some of our previous campaigns, and we got significant traffic from them, but they just don't give a lot of.
The click-through rate probably isn't great. They watch it and forget. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, since some of these are specific to programs at our colleges, I know that RCC and MVC have individual pages for each academic program, and Norco is moving to the same web system. So they will have the same kind of setup. And so if you have a community interpretation, if we have an automotive, if we have videos dedicated to that, can we get the files so we can at least put those on the program pages? Because as people go and look at our website and like, what academic programs do you have available? Oh, I'm interested in, you know, CNC, and they go to the Norco page and they learn all about, and they see the video and it has the RCCD branding. It has all of the work that you did, and then we can keep it up there.
Yeah, we can share it for sure, and then you can make a decision
if
you
want to
include it or not. I think some of them, for that type of format, for the website, I think a longer format might be more appropriate.
30 seconds. But the attention span is there, so we'll take what you have. So
their attention
whatever's
span
already cut.
4 seconds now. So anything more than 44 seconds, we can't handle anymore.
Yeah.
Speaking
anything
of
anything that you already have cut, I'm happy with. I'll take the raw file. I'll put it on YouTube. I'll embed it on our webpage.
Great.
Love it.
Does it help take up the raw file, or do you want just the YouTube link? We've loaded them onto the RCCD.
I'll take the YouTube link.
YouTube channel.
That's fine.
Okay.
So if they're publicly accessible, I'll go searching them.
No, we'll send them to you. I want to be respectful of everybody's time. It's a few minutes after 4. I know we haven't done college updates. We can do those, or I can give you your minutes back since I already took 4 extra ones. I feel like everybody wants to run away. So we gave you some homework. We're going to follow up before the end of the day Friday with what we need you to do. If there's anything in between, feel free to reach out. We're here to help and generally make things better. So if there's something we can do, let us know. I appreciate this group very much. I will see you all individually soonish, but we will collectively reconnect in the fall. Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Be well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.